Good morning, everyone. One person that we failed to mention this morning in our Sunday school class and announcements, Magdalene Gibson, is continuing to improve some, but still not able to get out and about yet. So let's remember to keep Magdalene in our prayers. And Richard, I'm just shocked you didn't say amen this morning when I said, when Mama ain't well, it's tough on us guys. And you know it is. But anyway, the text in Job is obviously the beginning of the story of Job, and there's a lot of great material in this book. But Job has so many things happen to him. So many just terrible, terrible things. And it just seemed to be one after another, just a constant barrage of attacks by enemies. And then, of course, the terrible tornado that killed his children. Then the boils that came upon him. And he had done nothing wrong. He had done nothing wrong. In John 9, the man that was born blind, the disciples said, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus said it has nothing to do with sin, but so that the glory of God can be made manifest, can be seen. Well, in the story of Job, the glory of God is seen. Because in the end, Job had back everything he lost. He got it all back. It's an amazing story. But I want you to focus on the fact that Job did nothing to deserve this. But it happened to him anyway. That's a tough thing to deal with. Why me? On April 15th, Faye and I had just finished our taxes. Yes, I know, last minute. Well, when you have to pay, why pay early, right? So we finished our taxes on the appointed day. But just barely, we had minutes to get to the post office to get them in the mail so they could be postmarked on April 15th. Minutes. So we left my house, and you know, all the way on the east side, right by Highway 31, and we went through downtown Athens to get over to the west side to the post office, right? You are not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. Have you ever driven that way? Have you ever gone through downtown? Have you ever done that? You are not going to believe this. Every traffic light, every single traffic light was green. Every one. We did not even have to slow down. We didn't so much as have to touch the brake pedal. I'm talking from my house all the way to the post office. The only time I had to touch the brakes is if I was turning. The lights were all green. That has never happened to me in 18 years of living here. And I don't think it would happen again in a million years. And we got there with like 3 minutes to spare. And I was so happy. Well, of course I thanked God. Of course I did. Am I saying God did that? I don't know. I don't know. I just know that that's what happened. And it was an amazing thing. But now, I cannot tell you the number of times that I have traveled that route when every single traffic light turned red right before I got there. And I had to wait through every single light. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. That is more the norm than every one of them being green. Sometimes it seems like everything we try to do goes wrong. I have picked up a screwdriver 4 times before I managed to stand up with it. I couldn't believe this. What's wrong with my fingers? I can't even seem to hold this thing. When I stopped at Cream Delight and got me an ice cream the other day. Now, Brittany, don't you tell your mama. Okay. I stopped there and got me an ice cream. Actually, Faye was with me, so it's all right. You can tell her. And I got Faye one, too. But I have to get mine in a cup. You know, I can't handle the cone, you know, the wheat and all that. So I got a cup of ice cream and got my little spoon. And so I reach in, I hand Faye hers, and I got mine, and I sit down, and my spoon fell out of my hand, and it fell on the ground right there beside the pickup truck. Well, I reached down for it, and the wind blew it right under the center of the pickup truck, right under the very center. Isn't that the way it always works? You drop an ink pen, it rolls right under the center of the desk. It doesn't matter. It's so funny how things like that happen, and it's little things that just irritate us to death. They just drive us nuts. These little things that happen. We touch it, it breaks. We get over getting sick, and we twist our ankle. You just spent a small fortune repairing your car, and then you totaled it. Oh, man, that's rough. I spent $200 back in 1977 on a Volkswagen, getting the front end repaired. I am a student at International Bible College. I had no money. But I managed to scrape enough together to rebuild the front end of that Volkswagen. And the very day I was on my way home and hit a cow. Yeah. You finally figure a way to do your job more productively, to do it better, and then they change the whole process. Thanks, Danny. That was Danny's job, by the way, to change the process. Did y'all know that? For better. Yeah, well, you know, we know how that works. You just managed to work out the differences between a friend or a family member, and then a problem comes up with another one. You barely managed to pay your bills. And now if everything will just keep working until payday, and then the washing machine breaks down. That's happened. You pray for peace, and here comes a storm. Bad things happen to good people. Job is the classic example. And with all the terrible things that Satan did to him and his family, and yet the Bible says, in Job 1, verse 20 through 22, then Job arose after the boils came upon his body and everything. He arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came in from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Are you listening? In all that happened to Job, he did not sin. He did not charge God with doing, why are you doing this to me, Lord? He didn't do that. In Job 2, verse 9 and 10, his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Get it over with. Your life is shot. It is so miserable. Hey, hers is too. But this is about Job. Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I think that's rather remarkable. He remained faithful to God. He praised God. He glorified God. He worshiped God. Even in the face of the storms. Even in the face of the horrors that he went through. I want you to remember, folks, that James 1:13 makes it clear that God does not ever try to cause us to sin. Never. He never tries to trip us up. He never tries to knock us down. God never, ever tries to cause us to do wrong. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to be faithful to Him. And neither does God take pleasure in our suffering. Satan definitely causes people to suffer, even God's people. But God never takes pleasure in that suffering. However, God does test our faith to help us trust in Him more. He does it for our own good. How many have ever gotten a spanking that was for your own good? Raise your hand if you ever got a spanking for your own good. Richard, don't raise that hand. You know you did. It was for your own good. Now, you didn't think so at the time. Well, God tests us for our own good. For our own good. He does this for us. He does give us trials to help us grow. But He does not ever want us to fall. And He does not ever want us to fail. And He has promised that Satan will not be able to put more on us than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know this passage. Memorize this passage. Make a note of it in the back of your Bible on the note page back there. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. You're not being tempted in a way that's different than everybody else. It's the same as what other people deal with. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God, when he allows us to be tempted by Satan, and when he causes us to be tested or allows us to be tested, God always makes a way for us to be successful. Always. Always. But who are we? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Who are you? You are a child of God. The you in this context is referring to the Christian. The honest, sincere, dedicated, committed Christian is given the protection of God. Now, with all that in mind, let me talk to you heart to heart for a few minutes about something that's heavy on my heart. Have you ever watched TV poker? You probably don't want to admit it, but that's okay. I have watched it. I found it kind of fascinating. I was thinking maybe I could do that. I've watched 4 or 5 different episodes, and I'm thinking, I've got this down pat. I think I could beat the other guys as long as I could see what the cards were that they had. I think I could win. Yeah. And that nobody told me that you don't get to see what they got. Oh, okay, that's how it works. But I've watched this and I've seen, I don't know if it's still on TV now or not. I don't know if it's still popular. It was the rage for a while. It was a game called Texas Hold'em. Remember that? Texas Hold'em. It was kind of fascinating. But at some point in the game that they're playing, they got all these chips and represent hundreds of thousands of dollars in front of these guys. And at some point, this guy thinks his hand is so good that he will do what is called going, who can tell me? All in. Boy, he just pushes that big old pile of chips, and the other guys are going, oh boy, he's making me have to choose. Do I pay that much to stay in, or do I fold and go away? Do I give up? He's risking everything. He thinks his hand is so good, or he's really, really good at lying. Bluffing, they call it, okay? But he's risking everything. He's going all in. All in. An alcoholic endures a lot to be able to drink. He will often reach a point that he will go without food in order to get another drink. And the problems are just beginning. His health begins to fail. His memory is damaged. Often he loses family and friends. And then there are legal issues. DUI, lost driver's license, legal fees and court appearances, bills go unpaid, can't keep a job, loses his house, loses his car, virtually has lost his life. And this can go on for years. And when he finally reaches bottom, all he can do is look up. And he seeks help from man and from God. And he tries to change. But the consequences of his past mean it's going to be a real uphill struggle for him. He has debts of every kind, not just money that he owes, but people have worn themselves out trying to help him. He owes many favors to many people, and he's damaged his name in the community. Who really wants to take a chance on him? But it was fun while it lasted, but the fun is over. And so he's trying to pick up the pieces of his broken life and begin the process of rebuilding. He sobers up, joins a recovery group. He gets a new job, not much of a job, but a job. He finds a cheap place to stay. He tries then to mend the damaged and broken relationships in his life. He manages to get his driver's license back. The financial struggles, that's the norm. But he manages to get another car. And he begins to pay his debts the best he can. And he goes back to church. He does pray. He does study. He tries to break all the bad habits. He tries to be a good person. But things seem to keep going wrong. I'm not talking about falling down and drinking again, though maybe he does still take a sip almost every day. But he has more bad days than good days. And he gets sick. He wasn't planning on getting sick, but he got sick. And then it was not a very good job, but he lost that job. He couldn't keep it. And then his car broke down, of all things. And he just can't seem to get a break. And he's trying to build his life back, and nothing is working. Everything is going wrong. Nothing seems to be working right for him. Why can't he get a break? What is happening? Well, he's trying to straighten up his life. He really is. And Satan sees that he's losing one of his own, so he's trying real hard to get him back. So Satan is putting every roadblock and breaking down every vehicle and interfering with every relationship and trying to get in his way and stumble him and trip him and make him fall every opportunity that he has to try to get back one that he is losing. He doesn't want to lose him. So he's trying to get him back. So there is a source of many of the problems. But is that all? Where is God in all this? God is reaching out his loving hand and he is saying, come to me. Wait, he's going to church and he's making an effort to be a Christian. Yeah? Is he really? Is he really? The problem is that he's not made a total commitment to God. He's still trying to hang on to part of that old life. He's moved far enough from Satan that Satan's beating on the guy, but he's not moved close enough to God to receive God's protection and God's blessings. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He has not made a full determination to serve God no matter what. He's made conditional efforts, but he's not made a full-fledged effort to be a Christian, no matter what the cost. And so he is without God's blessings and without God's protection, and he is suffering the full onslaught of Satan's rage. No wonder everything's going wrong. No wonder nothing is going right. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together, but to whom? All things work together for good, but to whom? To those that love God. God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. To those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. They are his people. And we have God's promise that all things will work together for our good if we are fully committed. If we're totally committed to doing the will of God. In Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The whole idea of repentance is turning away from the old life and not looking back, but going forward in your journey toward God, in your journey toward perfection, in your journey toward becoming as much like Jesus as you possibly can in this life. That means you can't look back, you can't go back, you can't turn back, not if you want God's blessings or God's protection. And this is the problem with so many who are trying to break the cycle of destruction that they have done in their lives, be it drugs and alcohol, be it personal pleasure, be it any kind of a bad habit that they're trying to break, be it materialism and worldliness, any of these things. Pornography is another one. Any of those things. A person trying to break these, you're not going to succeed without God. You're not going to succeed without God. You must come full-fledged to Christ. You must go all in, folks, all in, if you want God's blessings and his protection. You will not receive anything of the Lord if you are a double-minded man, you are unstable in all your ways. You must cast aside doubt and cast aside hesitation and go all in if you want God to bless you. Satan, he's mad. He's mad all the time. God is angry with the wicked every day. Satan is just angry every day at everybody. And he doesn't want to lose any of you, anybody. So what about the rest of us? We may not be an alcoholic. We may not be a drug addict. We may not even be a habitual liar. But it's the same situation for every one of us. if we're not fully coming to the Lord. Satan will try to make us fall. And God will only be able to watch it happen unless we truly come to Him. And if we will do this, if we will truly come to Him, we will have His blessings and His protection. Yes, bad things happen to us. No matter how good we are, no matter how faithful to God we are, no matter how upright and sinless we are, bad things still happen to us. But not all the time, do they? Not all the time. And when they do, it is that God is working on us to help us become more than what we are. I once heard a young man who was a very faithful Christian. He was not a wealthy fellow, okay? But I heard this young man, and he was talking about how things were working in his life. Things were working pretty well. And he gave the credit to God, but he called it heavenly duct tape. Heavenly duct tape. What is that? Well, you know, if you have duct tape, you can fix anything, right? I saw a duct tape boat one time. The entire boat was made of duct tape. The entire boat. And it floated, held a 200-pound man in a lake. It was a calm lake. But the whole thing was made of duct tape. You can fix anything with duct tape. Heavenly duct tape will keep that washing machine from breaking down. Will help that bald tire to make it a little further. Will help the gas tank that's almost empty to make it down the road just a little farther so you can get to the gas station. Heavenly duct tape will help you hold together a frayed and frazzled relationship. Heavenly duct tape will help you to keep things going when it looks like things are just about to fall apart. It is God. God is the one who created all things, and by His hand all things consist. God is holding our lives together with heavenly duct tape. We need to hang in there and be totally committed to doing the will of God if we want God's help and God's protection, God's blessings and God's protection. Because Satan's he's coming after you. And you need God to shield, to protect yourself from him. Without him, you are going to face that onslaught and everything is going to break and everything's going to go wrong. So it's really good advice that I'm giving you this morning. Make up your mind to be totally, totally committed to serving God. Whatever your situation today, if there's a way we can help you to make that decision and to act upon it without delay,